Now tonight we turn to the book of Numbers and we come to these well-known words of blessing in Numbers chapter 6 verses 24 through to verse 26. Numbers chapter 6 and we commence the reading at verse 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Dear congregation, in the fourth psalm we read these words. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And we see there that favour is manifested, joy is cultivated, and peace fills the soul. And so in the view of the favour of God, the Christian can rest not only at the end of the day, but also at the end of life. And what a blessing this is. Oh, dear congregation, are you aware of the blessing of God upon you? That God's blessing has found you and God's blessing rests upon you. Now, here recorded for us in the book of Numbers, the Lord spake unto Moses concerning blessing the people. In verse 23, we read, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. It was a pronounced blessing, in which is revealed God's readiness to do good. Now the priests were to pronounce the blessing, as we see in Deuteronomy 21 and verse 5. We read of Aaron in Leviticus 9 verse 22, and Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them. Our Lord, before he left this world, lifted up his hands and pronounced a blessing, as we have seen often in Luke 24 and verse 50. And what a precious sight it was they had of Christ lifting up his hands and speaking words then of blessing. And as you see in the old, but also in the new, the lifting of the hands is symbolic of blessing. And so in this age, many a New Testament gospel minister has lifted up the hand whilst pronouncing the benediction, symbolic of blessing upon the people. Matthew Henry wrote, it is a pattern to gospel ministers, the masters of assemblies, who are in like manner to dismiss their solemn assemblies with a blessing, the same that are God's mouth to his people, to teach and command them, are his mouth likewise to bless them, and those that receive the law shall receive the blessing. So then we have a little concerning the blessing. And it's a lovely thing, isn't it? To end, not with the words of men, as some do, but with the blessing of God. Now we note this particular blessing here in Numbers chapter 6. And right at the outset, we note that the Lord is referred to in each of the verses. The Lord bless thee, verse 24. The Lord make his face shine upon thee, verse 25. And then verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. Now we're told that the Jews knew there was something here in why the Lord's name was mentioned three times. Well, coming over to the New Testament, the Apostle Paul makes plain what the Jews did not really understand is here before us. And he made it plain in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14. That the blessing comes from our triune God. The Jews didn't understand this here particularly. But the Apostle Paul knew it. That the blessing comes from the triune God. And we see that here in this blessing here. The Lord bless thee, verse 24. And then verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon thee And then verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon me. There's no mistake here. It's a reference to our triune God. The Apostle Paul was in no doubt that the blessing here in Numbers was in view of our triune God. The Lord in verse 24, particularly considering the Father. And then in verse 25, the Son. And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit. Now let's just prove this. If you go to the benediction in the New Testament, that one in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, we read this. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, come with me to verse 25. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Well, note a little later, the grace, the pity, the love. So in the New Testament, we think of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 25, the grace of the Lord. We believe it to be a reference to the Son. And then you come to verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And peace is applied and cultivated through the Holy Spirit. It is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So when you come to verse 26, we particularly consider the third person, God the Holy Spirit. Give thee peace. How peace is applied to us. How peace is cultivated within, that fruit of the Spirit. So having considered in verse 25 the grace, which the apostle speaks of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then in verse 26 the peace, which is part of the fruit of the Spirit, and we consider the Holy Spirit as the comforter applying peace, we go back to verse 24. And yes, we consider God as a whole, but particularly the Father and his preserving work. Now, it is recorded, as already said earlier, the Jews knew there was mystery here. And there was something in why the Lord Jehovah's name was mentioned three times. But they didn't grasp it, those that did not know the Lord. But the Apostle Paul, in his benediction, follows the order of the Old Testament and shows that the blessing comes from our triune God. Well, for the remainder of the time, I'd like us to consider the blessing here tonight. First of all, the blessing of preservation. Secondly, the blessing of grace. Thirdly, the blessing of peace. And as we look at these things tonight, we consider particularly in the first, the blessing of preservation through the Father. Secondly, the blessing of grace through the Son, as the apostle makes plain. And then thirdly, the blessing of peace through the Holy Spirit. First of all, the blessing of preservation. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. We consider God, our triune God, and we could rightly consider that blessing comes from him as a whole, but we particularly consider the Father here in verse 24. And so the apostle writes this in Ephesians 1, verses 3 through to verse 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And you see that the apostle in Ephesians particularly focuses, first of all, on the blessing from the Father. And that's what we have here. We particularly focus on the blessing from the Father. We see it in Numbers. We see it in Ephesians chapter 1. And you consider our Heavenly Father, he is the fount of all blessing. And how blessed is one to be able to say tonight, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. And as we say those words, we should so consider him who is a father to us in a special way, who has blessed us so much, as the Apostle Paul made plain in Ephesians 1, and as revealed here, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. How blessed we are by the Father. We are his children in a special way. We've been graciously adopted. Let me ask, are you in the family tonight? How do I know I'm in the family? How do I therefore know that this blessing here, and particularly in verse 24 of preservation, is my joy? Well, it's if we've had faith. For we read in Galatians 3, verse 26, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. If you have believed, you can rest in the blessing of the Father this evening hour. You can look back. But you can also look to the future as we consider this blessing being pronounced of preservation, that the Father will keep you. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, the Saviour who died at Calvary. Well, let's open this up a little further. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. We're thinking of a blessing pronounced. Now, rightly, we can look back tonight and consider how the Lord has kept us in a special way, particularly from conversion, but not exclusively. For here's a lovely thought, isn't it? The Lord kept us until we were converted. What a blessing that was. We were kept in a particular way that we might come to that day when we were converted. Where would we be now if we have been not kept in a particular way, but particularly in a special way, since we were brought into the family? We can look back, but we look to the future. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Keep thee today. Keep thee tomorrow. Keep thee through every experience, in every battle. He will keep us. And as you think of the blessing of the Lord here tonight, the Father will keep you tonight, and the Father will keep you. You are a child dear to him. In Psalm 121 verse 3 we read, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Now it's interesting, in that psalm we can consider again our triune God, because he made this world. I remember hearing that in a sermon many years ago. We consider our triune God, and thus we consider the Lord Jesus Christ in that psalm. But in light of what we read here tonight, we particularly consider the Father who keeps. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. We have this word keeper, shomer in the Hebrew. It speaks of to hedge about, to guard, to protect, to attend. You think of a guard outside a stately house or palace or an embassy. They're guarding the place. Well, the Lord is our guard. He's our keeper. We have a Father who keeps us. He is our protector. In Exodus 15, rather Genesis 15 verse 1, we read, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. He is a shield to us. Yes, we can consider our triune God, but particularly here the Father. He's a shield. He shields his children. You consider verse 27, they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Thinking of the children, but then particularly of the children in a special way. Oh, what a Father he is to them. And we are in his hands. Yes, we're in the hands of Christ. But remember, the Lord made plain that we're in the hands of the Father as well. John 10, verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. They cannot pluck them out. My grandfather used to try and get me to open his fingers to reveal the coin or the sweet therein. I could never do it. He had farmer's hands, and I just couldn't open his fingers. And so the coin in the sweet was secure, but then he opened his hand afterwards and gave me the sweet. But you think of the hands of the Father. were in his hands, as Christ made plain. Those hands to shield us, those hands to keep us. What a blessing this is. What a blessing we have known, where he is the blessing pronounced. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Father will keep thee. We've been placed there in his hands in a special and precious way at adoption. And we are kept by the Father. How we need protecting. How we need keeping. Our bodies, but then particularly our souls and every faculty of the soul needs keeping, because there is the devil and there is sin. We face a warfare and the devil wants to sift us. He wants us back, but the Father keeps us. We're in hostile territory. There's a sin within, but the Father keeps us. Grace is preserved within. We're kept, but then consider further, we're weak and so frail, aren't we? We haven't the ability to keep ourselves, to preserve ourselves. Yes, we read in Job 17, the righteous shall hold on their way. But why do they hold on their way? Because the Father has hold of them. We haven't the ability to keep ourselves. And if we look to the future and look to ourselves, what real happiness could we really know? But here comes the blessing. It's the Father that keeps us. We need a keeper. We have a keeper. We particularly focus on the Father. He's that protector. He keeps us. The Lord keeps, says John Gill, the feet of his saints from falling. He will not suffer us to be moved. Are you in the hands of the Father tonight? If you are, you will be preserved in grace to the end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. He chose you in a gracious way. He saved you in a gracious way. The Father keeps you in a gracious way. You will be preserved in grace. What an encouragement this is. You think of the future. What trials may come your way? What sin may arise in your heart? What assaults may come from the devil? But you will be preserved in grace because you're in the hands of the Father. You'll be preserved in grace to the end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. What do we read in 1 Peter 1 verse 5? Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let me just simply help you to understand the latter part of that verse. When redemption will be fully applied, and so we could say salvation complete at the resurrection morning, when our bodies will be raised, there will be the redemption of the body. Well, till then, we are kept by the power of God through faith. And here it is promised. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. We will be kept all the way. But let's just come back a little bit. As we think of the present. We think of the long view, but let's think of the present. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. He will protect you on the morrow. He will help you in the next battle. He will help you when you face the valley of sorrow. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And as you think of this blessing tonight, which is pronounced, what else could we ask for? To know that we are kept by the Father. Kept today. Kept in the trial. And kept in the battle. We're kept. Remember this. We're kept to glorify him. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. So something you're concerned about on the horizon? Well, consider the blessing tonight of the Father. He will keep thee. He will support thee underneath are the everlasting arms. The Father will keep thee. He will not forsake one of his children. What a blessing to be a Christian. To faith in Christ. To know the Father. Come what may. He will not forsake, but he will keep. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. It's a pronounced blessing. Now there are those who have thought the benedictions are prayers. The benedictions really are pronounced blessings. And it's good to go home, isn't it? Not with some word of a man, but with the blessing of God. And oh, that we would grasp the benedictions. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. He's going to keep thee tonight. He's going to keep thee on the morrow. Well, let's move on and consider, secondly, the blessing of grace. The blessing of grace. And this is precious here. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Now, we have considered the Father. Well, when we come to verse 25, yes, we could consider the grace of the Father, because we have a triune God, but also the Holy Spirit. But like the Apostle Paul in the benediction in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, when we think of grace in the benedictions, we focus on Christ. Just turn with me to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. How does it begin? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we think of the grace of the Father, the grace of the Holy Spirit, but the Apostle particularly focuses on the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we come to this benediction, having considered the Father in verse 24, we consider the Son and grace in verse 25. John Gill speaks of the redeeming grace of the Son here in verse 25. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here in the Old Testament. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. These are precious words. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. It speaks of the displaying of his love or favor. In Psalm 31 verse 16 we read, make thy face to shine upon thy servant, save me for thy mercy's sake. And so we see there in that verse, the shining of the face of the Lord speaks of mercy, but more than mercy. The Hebrew word, which is translated there as mercies, speaks further of favor, good, loving kindness, pity. The Hebrew word, I can't pronounce it at the moment, but the Hebrew word, it's such an amazing word. It takes in so much. It's translated as mercies in Psalm 31, verse 16, but it could also be translated as kindness, favor, loving kindness, merciful, pity. What a wonderful word. Takes in so much. It's an amazing word. We have a number of English words that try to help us to begin to get the grasp of that Hebrew word, but there's so much more. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, save me for thy mercy's sake, for thy favor, for thy goodness, for thy loving kindness, for thy pity, for thy kindness, on and so forth. Show favor, Lord. Show thy loving kindness. Show thy love to me. Let's go back. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. A displaying of his love. A displaying of his favor. Let me use an illustration. When one is cross or angry, it's displayed through the face, isn't it? When one is showing favor, it's displayed through the face. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Well, let's come back to the blessing here. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Bear in mind the New Testament benediction, the grace. So here in light of the New Testament, oh, that the face of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, would shine on us this evening hour. That there would be a display of the love of Christ, of the favor of the Redeemer. Let his face shine. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. He does shine, but for a fresh manifestation of the love of Christ, of the favour of Christ. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. He does, but you just notice the blessing. The Lord make, and he will. He smile again. He's smiling, but he will smile again. Oh, we can live in light of the fresh manifestations of the smile of the Saviour. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. Now his face has shone on the elect from all eternity in a particular way. They were given to him as a gift, and he smiled on them. He smiled on them, he smiled on us when he came into this world at Bethlehem. He smiled on them as he faced his death, the death of the cross. For he loved them, we read, unto the end. And as you think of that, there was a revelation of the love of Christ at Calvary. When he faced the anger of God, he smiled on us. His face shone when he rose again on the third day, for he rose for our justification. It shone on us in the time of love, and thou becamest mine. You consider how often the face of Christ has shone on the elect. Dear child of God, how often the face of Christ has shone on you, and it will shine again. Let's just think, it's not really a prayer. It's a pronouncement of a blessing. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. You can face tomorrow because Jesus will shine on your soul. Grace, favour, mercy and love is seen on the face of Christ. It is displayed through the word and applied to the heart through the Spirit. And so when we come to the last part, because of the shining of the face of Christ and the work of the Spirit applying the precious blood, we know peace through the Spirit in our hearts. The shining of the face of Christ. Think of it now. But he will shine again. The Lord make his face to shine. There will be fresh discoveries of the love of Jesus. We're informed here. There'll be fresh discoveries of his grace, his favour, his mercy and his pity. You'll be aware that Christ is shining on you. That his face is lit up. You remember, they took note of the face of Moses. Oh, if we could take note of the face of Christ. Well, we do, by fresh manifestations to us through the word and in providence. He will shine on you again. I'd rather go home with a blessing from heaven than the words of a man with a man. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. And be gracious unto thee. We, like Peter, grieve him at times. But the blessing reveals that he will shine on us again. You think of a dark, cloudy day. And then the sun appears. But a blessing confirms that the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, will make his love known to you afresh. Will display his favour. The Lord make his face shine upon you, thee, and be gracious unto thee. See how the second half of the verse interprets the first. And with the Apostle Paul, we know it's Christ for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here, Christ shines and grace is enjoyed. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. He is gracious. He grieves at times, but his face shines, and so he restores the backslider. He restoreth my soul. Why? Because there is a fulfillment of the blessing here. He shines on me. Well, let's just open this up a little further as we think particularly of his grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's so gracious. He leads his people in a gracious way. We may be in the dark, but then the word of God comes home to us. What has happened? Jesus has shone on us. and he's the shepherd to guide us. He shows pity because of the need of his people. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. He knows our needs, and then he shines. And he's gracious, and he takes pity. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. We're struggling through trial. The face of Jesus shines. And he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What favour, what pity. It's all there. He's touched. He's gracious unto thee. Some trial you don't know yet about. I can assure you of this, because it's not just a prayer. Or rather, it's not a prayer. It's a pronounced blessing. He will be gracious. He will be touched. What a blessing is pronounced here. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. Here's the blessing pronounced. And be gracious unto thee. And so grace, more grace from Jesus is known. You need him in life. The child of God has him. And grace therefore flows to them. The ocean of his grace surrounds you. Through him there is forgiveness. Through him there is help in time of need. You face the future. Here's the blessing pronounced. The face of Jesus will shine upon you. And he will be gracious. He will be loving to you. He will be acting with such pity. The face of Jesus will shine on you in the future. And you will find grace. Do you know anything of the grace of Christ? Are you aware of his help? Are you aware of his pity? You know, when the sun comes out, we're aware of it, aren't we? And you know how it is when the Lord, through his Spirit, so uses the word, and we're touched, we're aware that he is shining. But let's remember this, the sun shines above the clouds. And though at times we may not sense that the sun is shining, he is, and grace comes. The Lord make his face to shine upon me and be gracious unto thee. You know, we can face the future because of the shining of the face of Christ. What grace, what favour, what love. And he shines because he went all the way to the cross. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. So much here, he will make his face shine again and again and again. And grace will come again and again unto you, dear child of God. He will shine on his people as a whole, but he will shine on the individual. He will shine. And so blessing will come. Thirdly and finally tonight, the blessing of peace. In verse 24, we focus particularly on the Father. In verse 25, we focus particularly on the Son. In verse 26, we focus particularly on the Holy Spirit. Now we notice the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord lift up his countenance. The Lord reveal his face in a gracious way. And we're reminded there also of the grace of the Holy Spirit. But we particularly focus on the peace that comes because of him. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Because of grace the Father keeps. Because of grace the Lord helps his people, the Son. Because of grace, peace comes to the soul. How one needs peace. Well, in effectual calling, one is convicted through the Holy Spirit. But then through the Holy Spirit, one is led to embrace Christ. And comfort begins to fill their soul. Peace comes through the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, through his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Peace is applied through the Holy Spirit. Remember again, it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, peace. And we think of peace from the Prince of Peace, but we think of it being applied through the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You see the applying there. Give thee peace. Have you peace tonight? Peace in light of the precious blood of Jesus. Is your conscience sprinkled by the blood of Christ? Has the Holy Spirit come and applied this to your mind, to your heart? Remember, he is referred to by Christ as the Comforter. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Let the Holy Spirit come, may be our prayer, but the blessing is he will come. The blessing is pronounced, the Holy Spirit will come and cultivate peace and apply peace to your heart. And so the believer will know times of tranquility, that they are justified. We have peace with God. We think of peace with God. We think of God reconciled. But then the believer, peace in the soul, we have. I believe it's Professor John Murray brings that out. Peace with God, we think particularly that peace that Christ has brought, this reconciliation, God is reconciled. But then the believer, knowing peace within, can say, we have. You think of peace, the Spirit applies, and you say, we have. He gives you peace. He cultivates that peace. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. When you feel that peace is being applied, the word is coming home, the Holy Spirit has revealed his grace again. The gracious person he is, and he comes and gives peace. Well, we think of peace, peace in view of the cross, but we also need peace in our lives as we look to the future. Because sometimes peace is disturbed. We need more peace. It's true, isn't it? We have peace, but we need more peace. Well, the benediction makes known that more peace is coming through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will draw near to the soul. How important it is not to quench the Spirit. We can quench the Spirit by bitter thoughts, unkind words. We can quench the Spirit by neglecting our readings. Let's not quench the Spirit, for we need the Spirit. And the Spirit comes, as we see here, to apply peace. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. It's this giving. The Spirit will come again. He who lives within, he will come again and give thee peace. It's certain. You'll be able to rest again if you're not resting now. He comes and he gives peace. He applies. The child of God will know tranquility. You'll be able to rest. Remember those words again in Psalm 4 verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I will lay down in peace. Why? Because the Spirit has come and brought peace. He has comforted me in view of the precious blood of Jesus. He has comforted me in view of the Father's keeping. There's peace, and I will lay down. At the end of the day, we can know that blessing. But then at the end of life, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And so we can expect to be able to rest at times. And we are assured at the end, because of the work of the Holy Spirit, we will be able to rest at the end of life. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Here's a blessing from our triune God. As in the New Testament, there is that blessing from our triune God. The Father will keep you. The Son will shine upon you. And the Spirit will give thee peace. this week, your triune God will be at work, working together, working in their various responsibilities to keep, to be gracious, and to give peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. So I will be kept, I will be helped, and I will know peace in my soul. Here is a blessing. May you know the fulfillment of the blessing this evening hour and on the morrow, throughout your life, and on your last day, for his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray.